strict new lockdown has begun in the most populous US state, California, as COVID-19 cases continue to surge across the country. More than half of California's 40 million residents are subject to a stay-at-home order. People are banned from meeting anyone from outside their household.
All right. Welcome to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston, and on the Conscious Resistance Network. This is another episode of Uncensored News, Underground Music, including that was the Infirmities, Cell Block Earth. What's up, Micah?
What's up? I love that song. We're all locked down now. Glad to be here on KPFT, another Friday afternoon broadcast there from Livingston all the way down Galveston Island and beyond, reaching a lot of people, millions and millions of people with the ideas and the music. So keep sending us the music, and I hope we have a lot of people joining in on our chat today. We're looking for the best comments. We want to make sure we get the ideas out. So, you know, it's early in the episode. Thanks, everybody, for sharing it. We got a great episode in store for you. We're going to get into some local events. We're going to talk about vaccines. We're going to always talk about KPFT.
We got a lot to talk about.
We got a lot, man. But,
let me just remind everybody, we do have a logo contest going on too. Whether you're in Houston or not, you can contribute to deciding the next logo of this radio station we're on, 90.1. In case you're new here, you don't know, we broadcast on KPFT. It's the 50th anniversary of KPFT broadcasting, commercial free, corporate free, people powered community radio, 90.1 in Houston. As Micah said, broadcasting in the Houston area. If you go to kpft.org, the first thing you'll see is a KPFT logo contest. Voting begins. You have till midnight to go ahead and get your vote in. That's midnight, March 5th, to get your vote in. And there's 40 entries. Have you seen these, Micah? Have you looked at these?
No. Your vote matters, because otherwise we might not get the best one. So I'm going to look at these due to Derek's urging and pick out the hippest, most striking, poppinest KPFT logo possible, because, you know, we're freer here than we are on the net in lots of ways. And I think it's important. You know, you made me recognize it. Here I am promoting it, not recognize how important an image is because I'm busy all the time. But yeah, we need to vote.
Yeah, let me say, the ones that are leading, there's a few different designs. And, you know, first off, shout out to everybody who contributed to this community contest to design the next KPFT logo. And there is a couple that are in the lead, and they do look interesting. And I have my favorite. I'll leave it out of the conversation. People go decide themselves. But I think it's cool that whether you don't have to be a board member or be a radio part of the show, you know, it's not just the hosts that are getting to vote. It's anybody, even those who are listening to KPFT online, maybe not even living in Houston, you can go to the kpft.org website and help us decide on the next logo. So that's pretty cool.
No doubt, no doubt. We got a lot going on here at KPFT, so I'm like really thankful for everybody that is supporting. I know we haven't been making such a big deal about the fund drive, but I want to mention it early in the episode that KPFT is listener supported. If you value the fact that these ideas are being discussed, this music is being shared in the fourth or third largest city in the empire, then you know maybe you could throw what you can down to keep this going. Also, I want to thank everybody that supports Derek and I and Johnny individually by sharing our broadcast of this. You know, we're on multiple platforms. You can follow us at the HoustonFreethinkers.com as well. And anybody that shares that out is helping us personally get our message out. Every week we live stream this as well as broadcast on FM. I just want to take that time to mention, thank our listeners both for their input and for them helping us to reach more people. Praise be. Yay.
Absolutely. So. Well, Micah, let's go through. I know you got an event to mention. I got one to mention. And we'll start off with the big Texas news that the mask mandate has been lifted. But I got this event pulled up right here that you had. Tell us about it.
Yeah, no doubt. This is over at G-Spot Gallery on 9th Street in the Heights. And I thought this seemed interesting, something to get out to. I went to a political art show over there the other day. It's a nice place. Michael Wynn. And I was like, who's this Michael Wynn guy? I saw some of the art and it's he's having this opening. It's called Broken Bottles. And he's among artists that's recently featured in a book by Rodney Rogers called Out the Window. And it's photographs of artists and their studios, kind of like here they are in their environment. And this artist uses humor, he says, to undermine the serious issues and the pretenses of the art world. I thought that was interesting that he had I don't necessarily mean positive, but a fun approach to things. And he said it let him have fun and still, you know, be able to talk about things. And, you know, we talk about a lot of serious issues. So I think that when you can have a sense of humor as well to approach issues of life as well as politics and freedom, that's a good thing. So this seemed fun and something to get out to Saturday, 6 p.m. over there on 9th Street. You can find it in the Heights. So that sounded pretty good. East 9th Street.
Yeah, cool, man. I appreciate you mentioning that. I do have one event to mention as well. It's not this weekend when you're hearing this, but it will be coming up in the next couple weeks. So I'll mention it over the next couple weeks. And that is, if you are in Houston and you're interested in getting organized, getting to meet other activists, getting to meet people who are interested in growing their own food or skill shares, or maybe being prepared for a freak winter storm or the power out, then you might want to go check out the Houston Freedom Cells meeting. I heard they're meeting at Midtown Bar and Grill on March 20th. So you can find that if you go to freedomcells.org, you create an account. There's a event calendar there, and there's lots of different events for people posting stuff in Houston and elsewhere, wherever you're listening from. But yeah, the Houston Freedom Cell is meeting March 20th at Midtown Bar and Grill upstairs. And it should be an interesting event. I know they're just trying to get more focused, more localized. There's now, if you're in Houston, there's like an East Houston Freedom Cell, West Houston Freedom Cell, Southwest. Like, they're really, you know, things are kind of taking off on their own, which has been cool to see. So stay tuned for that. We'll keep you guys apprised of that as it gets closer. And now let's get to the news, man. Of course, being in Texas, being that our show is broadcast from Houston, and of course that Texas is a big part of the United States, when Texas says something like, hey, we're no longer going to follow mask mandates, that has an effect. That has a ripple, right? Like, you get people commenting from the state to the local level. So you might have heard that Texas Governor Greg Abbott ended the statewide mask mandate, or at least he issued the beginning of this, and it goes into effect March 10th. And this would end an 8-month-long statewide mask mandate, opening up Texas 100%. Now, Governor Abbott said, quote, under no circumstances can a county judge put anyone in jail for not following COVID orders, and no penalties can be imposed for failing to wear a mask. Today's announcement ensures Texans can tap into their own self-reliance to seize the opportunities our state has to offer. And he goes on to kind of brag that, you know, we have vaccines. There's no reason for this kind of thing. And I will say that even though this was going on where they've had this mask mandate, there have been some places that still didn't follow it. Like, just north of Houston in Montgomery County, they never enforced it. Their sheriff and their, I don't know, mayor, but definitely the sheriff made it known that they weren't going to enforce mask mandate. That if, you know, a place told you you had to wear a mask to get in, they wouldn't arrest you, but if you didn't leave, then they would arrest you or charge you with trespassing, but not for wearing the mask. But it was just, there was already some places across the state that weren't enforcing it. So now the governor, you know, goes and says, it does this. And then we have a couple reactions that we'll talk about. I know you pulled up one from, you know, Biden, Micah, about what Biden said, but I have this first. We'll talk about the local statement. The mayor, Mayor Sylvester Turner, they released a statement after Greg Abbott announced this, and he said, quote, on a day when the city of Houston reported 408 new positive cases and 5 additional deaths, Mayor Sylvester Turner calls the decision by Greg Abbott disappointing and disheartening. And here's the full quote from Mayor Turner, Sylvester Turner in Houston. The governor is wrong to roll back the statewide mask order. The decision is not supported by most medical professionals, science, and data. The Texas legislature must speak up, and the people of Texas must hold their leaders accountable. He goes on to say, masking requirements have allowed many small businesses to remain open and their employees to return to work. The mask order has allowed more students to return to in-person learning and has protected them, their teachers, and school staff. And basically the mayor says that, you know, they're still going to enforce this in city buildings like libraries and things of that sort. And he calls it a step in the wrong direction and, quote, does not make any sense unless the governor is trying to deflect what has happened 2 weeks ago during the winter storm. It was a statewide system failure. So the mayor kind of connecting it and saying like, oh, he's just trying to look good to his base because, you know, he screwed up the electricity, you know, the response to the storm, whatever. I don't know if those two things are connected, but the mayor wanted to get that shot in there. And I thought that was interesting. But I also thought it was interesting that when the mayor's kind of issuing the statement, he says like the mask mandate allowed kids to go back to school. It allowed small businesses to stay open as if they couldn't have operated without wearing a mask. You know what I mean? It was just sort of like this idea that they couldn't have done that unless they were wearing a mask. And we allowed that to happen.
Well, Derek, I think it's really important to note that. One other thing I'd like to say about that, Derek, is isn't that what they do, though? You know, there's a problem, and whatever they said was a solution, then anything that continued about life afterwards, you know, we were only able to go around after 9/11 and be safe is because of DHS and the Patriot Act. You know, we were only able to have an economy after the Depression because of the Federal Reserve. And what did we all learn in school? Roosevelt and the government saved us from the Depression because of the war. You know, you see what I'm saying? Like everything they ever wanted to do was what allowed us to even continue life.
Yeah, we can't have life. We can't, you know, accomplish things without the government allowing us to. I pulled up this one that you had out here.
Yeah.
Biden called it Neanderthal thinking.
Yeah, and I do appreciate you noting that point because the really important thing I think about it is it's shaping the narrative after the fact. You see what I'm saying? The other thing does it leading in, and here's how it's the propaganda still running after the fact to reinforce, you know, that it was these things that let the kids finally go back to school. And I thank you for bringing up the Neanderthal comment because, you know, we talked about this before, like just this name calling type stuff, right? And there's not really that much in this article, and I did want to bring it up only because of the type of approach that the article had. And also it had, you know, and we've spoken to the senator's office, if nothing else, a few times before. And Senator Cornyn said, and, you know, politicians, I think, you know, they're going to get up and see where their people are going and then try to run in front of them, right? At some point, the government needs to quit making arbitrary rules that do not have any demonstrable connection with the public health, is what he said. And then, you know, the CNN there jumps in and says, dude, arbitrary? Really? Recent CDC data suggests the most effective masking is double masking, not optional masking. And then they, you know, throw people on the CDC. But I don't think that's all that important. But it does just sort of show this rhetoric, you know, in everything that's happening to argue for this point of view or that point of view. And they tell you furthermore, not to leave your home. And I thought this was important to mention, not to leave your mask at home yet, because these, you know, huge corporate giants, leading grocery chains, you know, who are getting all kinds of benefits, pharmacies, retailers, and auto manufacturers, including Target, will basically require their employees to still wear masks and their customers too. This is what they're saying, at least. So maybe you want to think about where you shop, right? Target, Kroger, CVS, Walgreens, Best Buy, Macy's, JCPenney, Toyota, GM. Wow. You know, Toyota, GM, maybe you want to go to Ford instead, is all I'm saying. I don't know. But yeah, I thought it was kind
CNN,
of
CNN. CNN is just like the worst for the propaganda. The article we're showing on the screen right now, guys, is coming from CNN. I'm just like looking. I mean, of course, they, you know, they're not all serious investigative reports, and I get that. Not everything on the internet is. But in just the way this is kind of framed, though, it's like even just like with the last thing about saying aloud, it seems like just the way it's written is sort of to kind of plant the seed of what you should be feeling and thinking about this, you know. And it says things like, while it's easy to roll your eye at Abbott ending all these restrictions, you know, just kind of planting the seed that like, oh God, like Abbott, how stupid of him.
That Neanderthal.
Yeah, and it's sad, but that's what passes for reporting. But yeah, like I said, Texas governor,
Mississippi also lifted there. Yeah. So, you know, we're not like some freaks over here on our own saying, hey, we've been going on with life without it, and it seems okay to some degree. Mississippi.
I want to add to that, like, for, you know, because you're talking about the corporations and the people who are basically promoting, like, hey, we're going to still continue to support this. It should be noted that despite I saw HEB's public statement after this saying we're still going to require this and that, and they made sure to say, and we're going to encourage our customers, because the thing is, you know, personal choice is where I stand. But if you don't want to wear a mask and you live in the Houston area or in Texas, HEB has not required them the entire time. So whenever I'm in Houston, that's where I've gone to shop personally, because that's just, you know, what I want to do. So just throwing that out there for people who want to support that. But it's going to be interesting, Micah, to see how it goes forward, because now there's no sort of state mandate, which I'm not like trying to fault or hate on a business that is like, hey, I have to follow this because I'm afraid I could get punished, or even a business that's like, well, I could lose business if people get sick or whatever it may be. I'm not
or even a business that even thought, you know, they were doing something good, at least taking the stand for it, right? You know?
Yeah, like, I think that for me, the issue is the fact that it's like the government putting this force on these businesses one way or the other. So now it's like, okay, the state's going to back off. That's a good deal. And the businesses that want to stay that way, they can. And then I think also for consumers who are very much not wanting to support places who now have a choice in Texas, what I would recommend is then this is the time to apply pressure and say, hey, we know that now the law is changing next Wednesday. Are you still planning on requiring masks? Because if you do, now that you have a choice, I'm going to have to support someone else. Because you have a choice now, you know, you're not being pressured. And I want you to know that I'm willing to support you if I don't have to come here and wear a mask or whatever it may be. Maybe you feel the other way. But the point is you use your consumer power to kind of push the businesses the way you think they should go.
Yeah. You can at least influence that building that you're in, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's continue. This is Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston. We got a couple more local stories before we start getting into some of the bigger picture stuff. We're going to talk about, you know, this whole warning about something going on March 5th, and there's going to be another storming of the Capitol. And oh, did you know Biden's bombing countries? But before we get to that, let's talk about some crazy cops in Texas. How about that, Micah?
I saw that
Houston one. That was pretty scary.
Sometimes, you know, when we cover the news every week, sometimes I feel like some of these details are just things that who wants to go into. But on the other side of things, I feel like, you know, they all have lessons and there's something important in some of these, though. I'm going to cover this one real fast about this baby that got shot by HPD, got in the crossfire. Sounds pretty scary. And I saw the video, but it doesn't show, you know, them actually shooting. It turns out that the police were chasing a robbery suspect who ran, hid in a vehicle at a gas station, and there was a baby in the backseat of this vehicle. The robbery suspect basically jumped in the front seat while the mama was pumping gas. And the police said he had a gun. He probably did if he was robbing places, but who knows? He was a suspect, right? And we don't have video of that yet. And they shot him and killed him. And in shooting him, they thought they grazed this baby, but it turns out the baby's in critical condition. And my takeaway on this is, you know, we live in a very dangerous world. There's lots of guns and there's lots of temptations for people to be robbers. I think people need to be aware, protect their babies, and don't let them grow up to play cops and robbers.
So crazy, man. So crazy. But yeah, I mean, really just the only thing you say is like, you hope that that family ends up okay. And that baby, which was just, I mean, this is like a 15-year veteran officer. So yeah, it's not like it was some rookie.
Yeah. It's obviously an innocent, you know, somewhat innocent. If the guy had a gun, they were afraid for their life and they shot him. They didn't know there's a baby back there. And so, you know, this isn't one of those ones of, look, here's some crooked cops. This is just normal life. You got a robber running. You know, somebody's poor baby had become a robber, you know.
Yeah, but I still don't think the cop should just be like unloading the vehicle, whether he knows there's a baby there or not.
No, you know
what I mean? Because like you said, the guy's a suspect, right? Not like, and so unless.
Until he had a gun, if he had a gun, there's fear for his life. And if fear for his life.
Like, I obviously we don't know the full picture yet, but I'm saying unless like the evidence you know, reveals that like this guy had the gun drawn on him and he felt like, oh my God, this guy's about to start shooting at me through the car window or something, or maybe the guy was holding the gun to the baby's head, you know, something like that, that warranted just unloading a clip into the car. It just seems like another kind of, I can't help but think about like the Tuttles and just HPD shooting into the house from outside. Not saying it's the same circumstances, but just this sort of irresponsibility that we've seen before when cops go like on high speed chases, and obviously it's a dangerous situation regardless, but they just start like shooting into buildings and cars and, you know, things like that.
No doubt, no doubt. And I think that's part of the problem when you live in Gotham, right? You've seen so many things, so many horrible examples that, you know, it's almost like there's, you know, just so many horrible examples where authorities are abusing their power and acting like repugnant to what they pretend to be or should be in an ideal world. And I think that's why we need to be suspect. We need to question these things and you know, we need to have the evidence. So, you know, for sure. The other one that I thought was interesting here on the local, and it's kind of like that bankster story we had where that person was just stealing millions of dollars and then burned down the bank or whatever, burned the books the day before the audit. It's kind of just like, oh my God, right? It's not too shocking when you hear so many horrible stories, but it turns out that a member of the Dallas Police Department, a member of the DPD since 08, is now implicated in two murders. It turns out that the Dallas chief, the police boss up there, says the suspect, the former member of the DPD, instructed witnesses to kidnap and kill two people between February and March of 2017. He had relationships with some of these people. One of the bodies was found riddled with bullets, basically. The police chief said, and I include this because, you know, you could think it's propaganda or whatever, but I think there's a reason propaganda works. So Garcia said, there's an old adage in police work that says no one hates a bad cop more than a good cop. The chief said, we hire individuals from the human race. And when we find individuals such as this, it's the actions we take afterwards that we should be judged by. We will hold ourselves accountable to the highest values. And I just think that's kind of what we're talking about to some degree. Now, if that happens, we should expect that. I mean, I don't think it's asking too much to expect that, you know, from officers.
To expect that cops hold themselves accountable?
To the highest levels, yes.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, unfortunately, like you said, maybe it is just the cost of living in the world we live in. We're jaded and just like, oh, yeah, right, they're going to do something or whatever, like they're going to actually hold themselves accountable. But I mean, I think it's just that it's a smart bet that whenever there's an officer-involved shooting or a cop involved in some kind of crazy thing that, you know, I mean, 5-1, let's say 10-1, they're going to get away with it or at least get a much less harsh penalty than, you know, one of us just plebes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and that's just the facts, like where we're the world we're living in at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, and it's unfortunate because you think it should be held to a higher standard, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Well, let's continue on, Micah. Let's start to, you know, you're listening to Freethinker Radio, of course, on 90.1 KPFT Houston. I want to remind everybody again that if you do want to play a part in, you know, picking the next logo for KPFT Houston's only community-supported, commercial-free, corporate-free radio station, go to kpft.org. Look at the last blog post. There's a link. You can check out all the logo designs and vote for your favorite one and help pick the 50th anniversary edition of KPFT logo. Let's jump now to some national news. Micah, I don't know if you've been hearing, you know, the chatter out there. I know we both kind of try to tune it out as much as possible recently, but it's not always possible. About this, you know, okay, well, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to, like, even after November 4th, when it was clear Trump lost the race, or, you know, I know that's still controversial to some people's minds. The QAnon crowd and a lot of this kind of hardcore Trump crowd that believes in these, I would say, real, like, actual conspiracy theories, not like truths that are kind of weird and crazy. They started to say there's a new plan. Now it's March 4th is when Donald Trump was going to be elected president. You know, don't worry about January 20th. That's going to be some fake show, inauguration. And they get this theory because apparently up till 1933, the inaugurations used to take place on March 4th. That was later changed. And so there's this, you know, crazy theory of, well, they're going to actually go back to this pre-whatever era before the United States was a corporation, and Trump's going to end up being actually the 17th president because he'll fall in line with whoever they believe the last real president. I can't remember. That's basically the bulk of it. But in the last month and a half, most of even the QAnon crowd has kind of dropped this idea and doesn't even seem to take it serious. But in the last week, we've been told, oh, this March 4th is the next day that the QAnon, the Trump crowd are really paying attention to. And then just 2 days ago on Wednesday, they were saying, oh, we got new intelligence saying that the militia groups, they didn't say which one, but militia
groups. The three,
yeah, 3%ers, Proud Boys, whatever, you know, they might try to storm the Capitol again, you know, and this and that. We need to have extra, security and all this. And they even changed some of the votes to make a big deal, like, oh, the Congress had to change the votes because they were worried that there was going to be some big thing. And then Thursday comes to pass. And as far as I can see, nothing happened. There was nothing. But interesting fact, I'm showing an article on screen right now. Capitol Police asked National Guard to extend their deployment up to 2 months. So, you know, for those who don't know that in D.C., January 6th, whatever you think happened, the police state hasn't left since that time. There's still 10-foot tall razor wire surrounding the Capitol buildings and other areas. There's National Guard on site. And it was supposed to be coming to a conclusion next week, March 12th. But now there are some folks in Congress reporting that the Capitol Police have requested the National Guard to extend their deployment by 2 more months. So the police said in a statement, U.S. Capitol Police Acting Chief Yogananda Pittman formally asked the Department of Defense to extend the support provided by the National Guard. And they're claiming because there's just this new evidence that there might be, you know, something coming. And it's just this kind of forever ending now domestic war on terror to domestic terrorist extremists that might be coming on this date or it might be happening on this date. And I don't know. It's just it's crazy to see, but you know, needless to say, nothing happened. So I don't know. I mean, but I just think that kind of amping up and the push towards like having these hearings, they're saying now we need to have a 1-6 commission, like a 9/11 commission. Now 1-6 for January 6th. We need to have a 1-6 commission to get to the bottom of what happened and really root out how did these people use social media to spread these ideas and how could nobody foresee this? And it just doesn't seem like it's going to end up anywhere good for liberty and freedom.
It's a bit much, a bit craziness. And I think it's kind of difficult because, like, as you said to begin with, you know, you said that you suspect that I've been kind of trying to avoid this chatter and that you kind of try to avoid the chatter. But at the same time, you never know with this stuff, right? You never know. And then you also see, well, why does this chatter even exist? Is this really just some crazy group that they're happening to talk about? No, there's big actions happening that cost lots of money. So it's not inconsequential chatter. You know, whether we're talking about just some weirdos in a basement talking about how they're going to overthrow the government or not is almost irrelevant because the millions of dollars spent keeping those troops there. You know, I heard someone say this is what a police state looks like. I'm not sure if that was really real, but nonetheless,
I saw somebody online say, so is this the standing army I was told about?
No doubt, you know. I mean, it would have made sense maybe before it when they took it with no artillery support or anything, you know. So, like, it's just too weird and kind of bizarre. And it makes you wonder, you know, now we're into the world of imagination, right? Because, like, what's the point of it? Like, what's the point of it? And if nothing comes of it, what's the point of it? Like, is there something new coming out that they need to be protected? That they expect people to be like, hey, there's going to be a zombie apocalypse. Like the CDC said, we better protect the White House. You know?
Yeah. You know, and the reason I thought it was important to bring, just to even mention this whole thing is because I'm sure there are some people who listen to KPFT and follow maybe some of our shows online that heard this information and maybe were living in a bit of fear or maybe even thought like, oh my God, this, you know, domestic terrorist thing is just getting out of control, or, you know, they felt the fear or they felt the justification for, oh, that's why we need the National Guard. Or, oh yeah, we do need this commission to go start investigating. How do we go after our neighbors and make sure they're not thinking the wrong things? Like, I feel like when you buy into that much propaganda and you don't stop to acknowledge, okay, they just hyped up something and nothing happened. Like, you know, I feel like we really have to let yourself kind of have that sink in and, oh wow, these people are claiming things and they're getting me all hyped up and they're getting everybody else all hyped up. And then there's nothing to show for it.
So, well, has authority done this before, ever claimed something that wasn't true, like you mean false thing?
Ever made things up and used fear to try to get the people to feel one way that benefits them? No, I don't think that's ever happened.
No. And not even on the local, like ever, or the national. So I don't know what the heck's wrong with thinking, you know, anyway. But yeah.
Well, let's go on to the next story here. Next one I want to mention before we hit some music. And I know you've got a couple of covered and there's some immunity passport updates. This one, though, is, man, it's just, I'm glad it's getting some attention out there, but definitely not enough. And it's just the fact that, surprise, surprise, Biden in less than 2 months already launching, you know, attacks on Syria based on a quote unquote Iran-backed militias that were in Iraq and Syria, they claim, and that attacked American contractors. No, not troops, not soldiers, but hired private military contractors, allegedly. And, you know, there's no ask Congress for authorization to use military force. None of that. Just boom, bomb. And they claiming, of course, in the truly, you know, cliche Orwellian fashion, that it was a defensive attack because they're defending American interests in other parts of the world, of course. But you actually did have a bipartisan senator kind of coalition come together introducing a bill to strip Biden of war powers. Senators Tim Kaine and Todd Young are looking to ditch the two-decade-old authorization of use for military force, which was enacted after 9/11 and continues to be used as an excuse to just go all over the world. And briefly, Senator Tim Kaine and Todd Young on Wednesday introduced bipartisan legislation that would repeal the decades-old authorization for the use of military force in the Middle East amid escalating tensions between the U.S. and Iran. So they unveiled this measure after Joe Biden launched airstrikes in Syria last week without first seeking congressional approval. And unfortunately, he's not like, you know, unique in this. This is just kind of par for the course in these forever wars, as they're, you know, called. So they're seeking to repeal the 1991. Yeah, yeah. Did you know that? They're still authorizing the tax based on something that happened in 1991 and 2002. So nearly 20 and 30-year-old authorizations. They're saying maybe we should repeal these and actually vote again if any of these things are constitutional and justified. So some efforts to do that. And then you've got another one here. Biden administration still hasn't briefed top senators on the Syria strike. Senator Chris Murphy had to sit in on his staff briefing, and he's not thrilled with what he heard. Democrats themselves are said to be ramping up pressure on Joe Biden after he ordered airstrikes in Syria without consulting Congress. And again, this is something that Donald Trump did. This is something that Donald Trump did based on allegations that there was gas attacks in Syria by Bashar al-Assad. Immediate, you know, launched the mother of all missiles. And this is when the left-wing media fell in love with Trump and said, oh, he's finally presidential. And then we got this other piece kind of backing up the points from offguardian.org. Delusions of self-defense. Biden bombs Syria, just kind of getting deeper into it. And the official statement from Pentagon spokesman John Kirby was this. These strikes were authorized in response to recent attacks against American and coalition personnel in Iraq and to ongoing threats to those personnel. So the attacks, the alleged attacks from rocket strikes from what they claim is an Iran-backed militia did injure a Filipino contractor working for the U.S. military, left him dead, actually, excuse me, and six others injured, including a Louisiana National Guard soldier. Of course, one could argue, why the heck are they in Syria in the first place, a country which the United States is not officially engaged in conflict with, but they still have people placed in Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan and Pakistan and supplying weapons to Saudi Arabia, which is contributing to the genocide in Yemen. So that's why today's episode, I titled it More Hopium, More Lies. Because remember Obama, hope and change. And this is the hope and change administration back, right? That hope and change, that warm feeling. He's not racist orange man, right? It's not loud, annoying Trump. At least it's something better than that.
Yeah, as long, you know, war can stay the same. Inflation can stay the same. Surveillance state, you know, biomedical security state can, you know, remain in effect. But yeah, hey, at least he's not whatever.
At least he talks about unity.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you know, I heard or I read one of these things that was talking about some of the Israeli response to it. And I know it's not, you know, it's not like a homogenous totalitarian state where everybody thinks the same in Israel. But I saw, you know, a number of their politicians, of course, were saying that, you know, they were applauding Biden. And one of them, I don't know exactly who it is. I didn't save the article for us to talk about, but I think it's someone important. But he said, you know, Biden is not Obama, and if you mess with them, you're going to get hit. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, like, you know, it's like, anyway, but yeah, you know, and then, you know, we talk about, yeah, this whole we were hit thing, you know, we're interfering everywhere. And we wonder sometimes why we, and I hate to use that word because obviously it's not you or I, Derek, but why what the land we live in and our loved ones live in, at least a lot of them, and we tend to call home from time to time, why the government is doing these sort of things, and why as soon as, you know, the new flavor is voted in, none of this changes and people seem to just acquiesce and accept it. I think this is one of the reasons I'm most thankful to KPFT for the opportunity to ask these questions and address these subjects. I don't understand, Derek. Do you think we'll ever be able to step away from it? What kind of thing would it take in your mind? A bunch of people standing up and writing Congress and saying we don't want war? They've got so many people thinking it's for the best.
No, I don't think that'll do it. I mean, I don't think that's enough. I don't sit here and claim to know what the answer is exactly. And I don't think it's storming the Capitol or, you know, things like that. But I do think that we're at a pretty late stage in the game where these people are just literally getting away with whatever they want. And even the most kind of hardcore statist left or right, I think, has to contend with the fact that it's clear that neither one of these parties and the people that are working with them really have an interest and doing anything valuable. And anybody, like, I mean, I know that people saw this with Bernie Sanders. People saw this. They say they feel like with Ron Paul and others that there's, I just don't see how hope and like things can really change through that political system. I don't see how we're ever really going to achieve change going through that route. And just continuing to kind of ignore it and act like none of it's happening doesn't seem to be serving us very well either. I mean, again, like I have my ideas and theories on what I try to do as an individual, but overall it is very disheartening because this stuff never goes away. I mean, it's like I think just a week ago we called the show More War, right? And I felt like, okay, we're going to more war number two of probably however many times we've said that in the last 10 years that we've been doing this show now through the Obama administration, the Trump administration, the Biden administration, and none of it has changed at all. So, I mean,
indubitably. And I think one of the reasons that keeps me doing the show is the hope that we're able to reach people that might care about these things, because you're right. These things aren't changing, and it's exhausting week after week after week to constantly see, you know, a fascist corporatist empire, you know, pushing its way, not just around the world, but also on its own people to the applause of its own people. So, you know, we keep doing this, but you know, I don't know. I just wanted to ask the question because I think I wanted to ask the question, not so much of you, Derek, but put it out there for the audience to begin to contemplate.
Yeah, and I really do hope that people will listen to the stories because we tend to cover a lot. You know, we've talked about this before. We used to have a 2-hour show, so we condense everything down to 1 hour. Sometimes we play more music than others, so we don't always get to cover the stories. We might go through them a bit fast, but we do hope you give this a number, you know, listen a couple of times to really take in the information, because there's a lot going on in the world geopolitically, internationally, domestically, and we want to bring you things that we feel are important. And it's not always just as simple as one story, because the world is way more complex and that there are a lot of crazy things happening at one time. So we're trying to bring you as much uncensored information as possible. Again, you can always find out more information about us at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Look up us, the history of Freethinker Radio, now that we've been doing this for 10 years. And I'm going to go ahead and continue, Micah. I have some immunity passport vaccine stuff, but if you wanted, we could go ahead and jump right into the food conversation, because I did see you had this one pulled up, and I know that's been an ongoing conversation we've been having.
We can do either one. If you want to go into the vaccine, I kind of would like to close with the food, because I think it's pretty obvious efforts we could do to do something about it.
Okay, cool. Actually, I want to let everybody listening, I did put out a call if we have any callers who want to hop on. So we're going to go ahead and, well, we had a caller, I think, on the line. Debbie, if you want to pop back, we'll get you on the line and you can share your thoughts and comments. But in the meantime, we'll go ahead and continue. Yes, we're going to talk more about immunity passports. This is something that we have been, you know, discussing for probably 7, 8, 9 months now. I mean, I know pretty close in the beginning, I was paying attention to it and rattling off about it here on Freethinker Radio. And it's become now the conversation, I think the conversation about where we're headed, where things are going to be by the end of this year, not just on the travel, because maybe you're like, hey, I don't fly that often, Derek. I see it enough of the world. I don't care much about that. But being discussed is potentially needing them to go to the grocery store in the UK, to go to work, to go to the bank, for your kids to go to school. Proof of vaccination. I mean, just really crazy things, at least to me. I'm going to show you a couple headlines here as we continue this conversation. One of them, the UK says they're going to push at the G7 for a global standard on vaccine passports, just reported about a week ago. Britain plans to use its presidency of the Group of Seven Economic Powers, aka the G7, to push for an internationally recognized system of vaccine passports that could allow the world to travel to resume. And Prime Minister Boris Johnson says that the issue does raise, quote, complex ethical issues. And this meeting of the G7 takes place in June. So between now and June, they're trying to kind of figure out how do they work out the system. This comes after the European Union met, and Angela Merkel from Germany said that she was, you know, that they were going to push for some sort of vaccine certificates. They've claimed that this doesn't mean it will restrict people from being able to travel who don't get it, which doesn't really make sense, because what's the point of having it if you're just going to let anybody travel anyways? So I don't know if we should trust them, but now you got the G7, the EU, the World Health Organization said to be working with some groups. We've got the Common Pass from the World Economic Forum and the Rockefeller Foundation, the Gates Foundation, that company Clear, that lets you skip ahead the line by doing a face scan. They're now offering their Clear Health Pass. the common pass, health pass, there's the travel. I mean, there's just a number of them popping up. And I saw this article on the New York Times just in the last couple of days, vaccine passports, COVID's next political flashpoint. A world divided between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated promises relief for economies and families, but the ethical and practical risks are high. And the article just goes on to talk about what we've been saying here, that there are people who really feel concerned about this. They don't think it's right. They have kind of, especially in the sense of Israel, putting like freedom bracelets on people and, you know, the green pass to get around. It brings up some uneasy feelings from history for a lot of people. And that conversation is it's starting to get front and center now, Micah. And to just to add to that, and then I'll shut up and get your thoughts on this, is while this is all going on, we have the first lawsuit in the United States filed against mandatory vaccination, according to a report from Bloomberg. A detention center officer in New Mexico filed a lawsuit over a workplace requirement to receive the COVID vaccine, the first lawsuit against mandatory COVID vaccines in the U.S. The detention center officer, Isaac Legareta, sued a county manager and his supervisor on Sunday. The officer's attorney said he was told he would be fired for refusing inoculation. And the lawyer says, quote, "You can't be forced to be a human guinea pig when a product is experimental. We have the right to bodily integrity." This is Anna Garner, an attorney for the nonprofit New Mexico Stands Up. So they're basically saying that the attorney is disputing the allegations. The county attorney is saying that these allegations aren't true and that the CDC and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, has already said employers can mandate vaccinations. We covered that last year as well. So this case, I think, is going to be pretty crucial. And we will recall that back in like 1902, the Supreme Court found that a man who was trying to say no to a mandatory smallpox vaccine, that they couldn't really force him to be held down and vaccinated, but they could compel him to pay the fine for not being vaccinated. So we'll see how that plays out. I definitely would pay attention to this case because I'm sure there'll be more. What do you think about that, Micah? I mean, the growth of the immunity passports just happening so quick, and then now we have some potential legal precedents that might be set in this regard.
Yeah. There's a lot of thoughts to have about it. I do like the fact that they couldn't force him. You know, it sucks to pay, you know, it sucks to pay taxes. It sucks to pay, to just be forced to pay ever. It sucks to be robbed at gunpoint. But, you know, if I'm going to be robbed at needlepoint, then yeah, here's your money. Don't stab me, bro. You know, I mean, I don't know what else to say. So I think that that's good that they have this historic precedence, because we know law is so dependent on that. I think also it's scary when you look at the world and when you look at how integrated the U.S. is attempting to be with this world, as opposed to its historic stance as, you know, we have these values and we're unique in the world and having these values. At least that narrative, whether it's true or not, is a whole different thing. But this new narrative of, you know, we're integrating, we're part of the G7, we're part of all this stuff. When you look at who our partners, if it's us, again, it's that word, keep calling it ours. But if you look at who the partners are in here, didn't you just say Britain's in charge of this? Wait a minute, didn't we fight a revolution less than 200 years ago? And now we're going to go ahead and say, yeah, we're going to work with you on this. Now, maybe that's stretching the real role of it. But if you do look at who some of the partners are and what they want, why would we acquiesce to any of that? And I guess it's that we wouldn't, but our authoritarians might. And so it's scary. I think we're on the edge of a biometric security world to a certain degree. And I think, like 9/11, like the terror thing, it won't go away. And I think this is going to give them all kinds of new powers to get into your DNA information, your how your body deals with things. I don't know. I think this is going to open up all kinds of new, interesting ways that they're going to try to exploit the human being. And I think that scary. I read a little bit of an article, and it's just kind of an opinion piece out on Mint Press called The Bits and Bytes, A Great Reset. I don't know if you saw that one. It kind of talks about the scaling up of data capitalism. And, you know, they had an anti-capitalist view from the get-go, and that's fine. But I thought what was interesting was how that, you know, the new corporatist, the new forced way that information will be taken in this world, and the possible fines, you know, all this sort of stuff. And I think we're on the edge of a very scary thing here. And it's bigger than you and I, Derek, and it's bigger than our audience. And all these corporations are involved in,
you know, this great reset, and it's tied deeply into COVID also.
Yeah, well, I mean, since you broached the conversation on the Great Reset, I do want to say, because I'm sure there's some who hear that and they're like, oh, you know, the only thing I've heard about this is that it's some right wing conspiracy or this and that. And honestly, what I've been noticing in recent weeks is that it seems like there's more left leaning people starting to wake up to it. Like you said, they might frame it in a different language of anti-capitalist, or this is just, you know, the kind of data capitalism or whatever. But whatever terms you want to use it, the point is clear that these technocrats, these unelected, you know, bureaucrats that have partnered with the governments, and in a lot of cases, as far as the technology side of things, they have clear connections to the intelligence community, are now placing themselves through philanthropy, through media capturing, and through other, you know, avenues as the heroes to kind of reset everything. Hey, COVID's revealed that things are all screwed up. Let's figure out how to fix it. And in some cases, some of the same people who screwed it up or placed the system this way or made them this way or contributed are now presenting themselves as the hero. So I've been noticing more leftists waking up to this. Even people like, well, I'll just name a few, some kind of more well-known, like the actor Russell Brand. He does a YouTube channel and he's been becoming more outspoken. He had a video talking about Vandana Shiva. She's another person who's, you know, she's always been critical of Monsanto and that sort of thing, but now she's speaking up against Bill Gates and the Great Reset and the role that they're playing during COVID-19. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., again, not a right-wing guy, a dude who definitely is more, I think, a kind of classic Democrat and, you know, the best version of that, and Russell Brand, the actor, and just some other folks that I've seen more on left-leaning who don't necessarily consider themselves quote-unquote conspiracy theorists, and definitely I don't think would consider themselves right-wingers, but who are starting to become aware of, like, okay, there's some crazy stuff happening. And like you said, it's this kind of biosecurity, biomedical state, and, you know, like medical martial law is a big part of, I think, that what we're witnessing as far as the COVID, but it's really just a remaking and a redesign of a world. It's resetting. That's what they call it. So I do have that article up on screen for anybody who wants to check it out. It's at mintpressnews.com, The Bits and Bytes of the Great Reset. I definitely will be checking that one out tonight, Mike. I appreciate you mentioning that. And I just want to also remind everybody who's listening, this is Freethinker Radio. We do this every Friday at 3 p.m. live on 90.1 KPFT Houston. And of course, we broadcast throughout the internet during the week. If you're watching right now, you're listening right now, we would love to hear your comments. We are reading comments live while they're coming in. But also, if you'd like to pop in, we did post a link a moment ago. You can pop your head in here and share your thoughts, and we will bring you on the show as we continue. I'll just read one comment while we have it. Cashless society is coming. Travel passports will be forced on people, but through the removal of rights rather than wording it as compulsory, which I agree. It's social engineering. Like the Communist Chinese Party and their red, amber, green point system in society, we will have certain liberties removed without a vaccine certificate. And I do think that's pretty similar to what we're seeing, is that, like, you know, like you're saying, in this kind of great reset world, Micah, that more and more, I mean, China does seem to be the model. They already have the social credit score, the social credit scheme of that can affect the things you say online, whether you put your trash out on the right days, or whether you read from the red book, you know, the Chinese propaganda manual on the right hours of the day, affects your score going up or down. And that score can determine whether or not you get to travel, whether or not you get to go on vacation, whether or not you get to visit certain parts of town that are only for people with this certain amount of score. And you can see how that can very quickly turn to people turning their backs on friends and family because, hey, man, I can't lose any more points. You know, you keep posting crazy things on Facebook and I'm just losing points by hanging out with you. You know, it doesn't have to be a gun to your head.
And it's not necessarily about being sick either. It's about not complying. You see what I'm saying here? It's not about, oh, you were sick and you traveled, so you risked someone. Oh, like if you were drunk and drove, you know what I mean? This is like, you just didn't comply. You didn't go and, you know, get whatever they expected. You didn't give them your precious bodily fluids. You know, you didn't give them, you know, whatever they want like that. And I think as we look at this and this whole we talk about being in the information age, and, you know, we've been talking about that for generations now almost. But, you know, we're on the babies of that. We're babies in the information age, and we've got a lot of information stored up in these human bodies. You know what I'm saying here? And the quick response and what they're able to measure and how many people will jump in and be vaccinated or be tested to each new wave is a lot of free data.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And, you know, you're talking about like whether they can get in your body. Cause they started with, and we're still, like you said, the early stages of this, the Internet of Things, all the things being connected to the internet in your car, your house, your toaster, your toilet, everything. Right. Then it's the internet of bodies. They've been talking about, oh, the human beings are going to become connected to it. Then it's like the internet of minds. I mean, they're literally using these terms, the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, to the point, as I'm going to mention this, and we can move forward to here in the last 10 minutes or so and start talking about food and some space. And then hopefully we get some comments or somebody want to jump on the show and share their thoughts with us, because this is broadcasting on 90.1 KPFT across the Houston airwaves. If you got something to share and you want to keep it FCC friendly, we'd love to hear from you. Micah, it's gotten to the point where in China, they are doing anal swaps. It's not, this is, here's a fact check from Reuters, because, you know, people have been hearing about this. Like, there's no way this could be real, right? Foreign visitors have been upset by China's anal swab tests for COVID-19, prompting complaints of inconvenience and psychological trauma. It says a few cities.
One of those, if you're a foreign visitor, or
So it says a few cities, such as Beijing, Shanghai, and another city which I can't pronounce, require the checks. In addition, not an alternative, you're getting both a nasal or throat and an anal swab for some international arrivals, the state media says. So this is not coming from, like, so I saw somebody saying, oh, this is anti-Chinese state propaganda. This is apparently the state, Chinese government has confirmed this themselves. This is their new policy.
Can we send anal swabs on air?
I think we can. We're saying it. So we're all right. But this is, it says the Chinese Center for Disease Control says the test is performed with a sterile cotton swab, you'll be happy to know, which looks like a very long earbud. This is inserted 1.2 to 2 inches. All right. I don't know if I'm going to continue reading this. Oh my God. Foreigners only. Early this week, Tokyo complained about the test on some Japanese travelers to China, saying they had caused, quote, great psychological pain. South Korean visitors can now submit stool samples instead of Chinese authorities taking them directly. Last month, U.S. media outlet Vice said a State Department official said that U.S. diplomats had been subjected to the test. And they said that this was like some sort of misunderstanding and the diplomats shouldn't have received their anal swab, but they did. The tests apparently are not exclusive to foreign visitors during China's last major round of infections. Some cities perform them on unspecified segments of the local population. That doesn't sound very heartwarming. Just unspecified segments of the local population were required to receive an anal swab in parts of China.
I think they can't say who got it.
Yeah, there's like, we're not going to talk about where, what parts of town and who got it, but that's the point. Is that, I mean, they live, these people, these all around the world, they literally think that they own your body. I mean, and I don't know if I said this on our show or just having a conversation with a friend recently, but to me, I've been thinking that, like, the fact that we're at the point now where they think they can tell you where you can travel if you don't have this thing in your body or you haven't received this jab or whatever. You know, that's just insane to me. But when you really think back about it, the fact that people allowed, or the state was able to propagandize them to submit to things like the drug war, show long ago they've already believed and had this kind of enacted in our minds that they own our bodies. I mean, they could tell you what drugs or plants or whatever you can put in your body. That's already an example of them believing they own you. And now we're to the point where they think they own you, that they can put something up your butt if that's the way they're going to test you, or they can make you get a vaccine.
It's incrementalism. They've groomed us for generations now to be docile. You know, it started with just, you know, just give up this, just, you know, surrender this, just be complicit with this, you know. And now here we are, you know, the next generation is just born into, you know, bondage, basically.
Yep. All right. Well, let's go ahead, Micah. I'm glad we kind of got to expound on that a little bit. I think these are important topics, and I hope people are really listening. And whether you agree with us or not, just getting you thinking. That's what Freethinker Radio is all about. Get your mind working, get you thinking. Let's jump this one. I got this one pulled up for you about the World Food Price Index. What's this all about?
Yeah, no doubt, Derek. You know, we've been talking about the struggles the food banks have been having, and, you know, just how food's been hit. And here in Texas, we had the freeze. It busted like half the grapefruit crop, et cetera. It turns like, on top of that, the recent news, and this is from the UN, world food prices rose for a ninth consecutive month in February, hitting their highest levels since July of 2014, led by jumps in sugar and vegetable oils. Both rose more than 6%, and dairy prices rose almost 2%. Meat almost just shy of a 1% gain. But, you know, I just wanted to mention that because, you know, here it is, 9 months of consecutive food prices rising. And I thought it was interesting to see some of the areas. Obviously, we can do some things if you need more sugar, right? You know, but I thought, you know, obviously there's world food prices, not just what we're seeing. So prices are going to go up. You know, we're talking about inflation across the board, and we know food's not counted in inflation. But here we have, you know, 6% in sugar and oil. They're talking about they can't get their numbers right on cereal. Some measures show there's almost a 2% gain in cereal, and given a certain other factor, it could have been a negative on cereal. So they're not totally resolved on what's going on with cereal. But I figured, you know, obviously we talk about food, we talk about economics, so there's a little food economics. It shouldn't be too surprising, Derek.
Yeah, and this one's interesting. I see it. One of our commenters says, and at the same time, Bill Gates is buying up all the farmland. I know we reported on that a couple of weeks ago when that report came out that Bill Gates is now the number one owner of farmland in the United States. And so, you know, when you hear these stories that we've been covering, Micah, like so COVID related, there's a strain on the economy, obviously, people not working. There's people not able to necessarily afford the food they might be buying all the time. There's a loss of income in that supply chain. And then there's, oh, well, COVID infected this farm, so we now got to destroy all this meat. We got to destroy all this crop. We got to destroy all this wheat and corn. And we've seen a number of these reports. I know Christian over at Ice Age Farmer, he's been doing a great job following those stories over the last year. And then we get things like this this winter storm, right? And that wipes out more crops. And like, oh, the power went out, so now we got to dump out more milk. And hey, more people are using food banks than ever. So now that's causing a strain, and we could potentially see some food shortages. The United Nations, the UN, as you said, like warning about food shortages. And now the prices fluctuating, prices going up in general. I mean, what does all this look like in real terms, Micah? I mean, obviously, just from your background, your thoughts on it, like, what do you think that this we could see more real world consequences? Like, I don't know. Like, I haven't been in Houston in a little while. Like, are the shelves back to normal? Have they been back to normal? I know that, like, you know, with COVID and everything going on, like, do you generally feel like when you see a story like this and we hear these stories that it's reflected in the real world yet, or are people still feeling like, oh, everything's fine?
I think it's a difficult and a more complex than that, Derek. Where I am, where I go, most of the stuff's in the store. Some stuff is missing, and they have little signs saying, you know, oh, please forgive us. And so that's not normal. You know, that hasn't been normal. Maybe it's normal over the last 9 months or whatever, but you get what I'm saying. Free this, it wasn't happening. But even here in the fourth largest city, which you think they'd keep the supplies going, right, to the big places, even here we have shortages. I don't know how it is in some other places. But yeah, there are shortages. I wouldn't say they're profound and really affect my life yet, you know, but there are shortages. And there's definitely shortages for the hungriest in all the food banks, it seems, across the country. We see both lack and we see bigger lines than ever. So that's affecting people as well. That means the contributions aren't going as far. The contributions are costing the contributors more, et cetera. What else do I think about it? I think obviously it's a trend. It's a trend. The economic situation we've been talking about for more than a decade here on Freethinker Radio is one of continued inflation and devaluation of our assets. And now it's going to take more of our assets to even eat. I think people will need to all think about that. This is, you know, long ago they talked about a little decline on the West, you know, was necessary to bring up the living of the world. I don't know if that's really the case, but we're getting a decline. I mean, this is a serious decline, and that's what I think about it. I think people need to prepare. Some of these independent gardens. We saw how the independent gardens were hit because of the freeze. So you got COVID, you got the normal, you know, COVID pushing it up to the top, and then just a little bit more, you know, a freeze, a hurricane, all this stuff stresses all these crops out more. Australia being on fire, you get what I mean? So I think we've been dependent on social fabric to eat, to have power, to have all these things. And I think we need to start considering both caring for the social fabric and caring for ourselves in ways that are independent of the social fabric.
Absolutely. I definitely think, you know, as much as we want to have that social support system and help each other where we can, we also got to make sure we can take care of ourselves. We're about out of time here, guys. We do this every single week on 90.1 KPFT Houston and the Conscious Resistance Network. It's called Freethinker Radio. You can find out more about us at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Just a couple of brief mentions. Micah had a story about this space hurricane. I didn't even have time to really look at it till now, but space hurricane, 600 miles wide, discovered over North Pole. So, you know, in addition to crazy everything else in the world, look out for a space hurricane. And on the solutions, I just want to shout out one last one that's actually coming off my website, theconsciousresistance.com. It was written by a contributor called Building Local Resilience, How Communities Can Thrive Through Revolution and Ecological Collapse. And it gives some really interesting ideas on getting organized in your communities that I think some of you might enjoy. So you can find that at theconsciousresistance.com. Anything else, Micah?
Live free, think free, be free, protect yourself, love your neighbors, love as much as you can. You know, they're trying to take happiness and joy. Try to make your own. Thank you, Derek, for what you do. And I look forward to when we can hang out again. I tell you that much. Thanks, KPFT. Thanks, everybody out there.
Absolutely. See you soon, brother. All right, guys, we're going to end with one more song. Till next week. Peace.
Can I ask you about love? Have you quote me a song? You've never looked at a woman and been totally vulnerable. Oh, my God, what an angel on earth just for you. Could rescue you from the depths of hell. And you wouldn't know what it's like to be her angel.
On the subject of the spectrum of love. We know that from time to time there arise among human beings people who seem to exude love as naturally as the sun gives out heat. People who exude love are apt to give things away. They are in every way like rivers. They stream. And so when they collect possessions and things that they like, they are apt to give them to other people. Because if you ever notice that when you start giving things away, you keep getting more. In the same way as you you create a vacuum, nature abhors a vacuum, and more flows in. Now, so the question and the puzzle remains. You cannot imitate this thing. There is no way of getting it. And yet it is absolutely essential that we have it. Because obviously, the human race is not going to flourish harmoniously unless we are enabled to love each other. But the question is, how do you get it? Is it something you simply have to contract like measles? Or, as theologians say, is it a gift of divine grace which somehow is dished out to some but not to others? And if there is no way of getting divine grace by anything you do, as the Calvinists aver, then we'd better just sit around and wait until something happens. Although Calvinists never did that. They were almost depressingly energetic. But surely we can't be left in that kind of a hopeless situation. There must be some way of getting the grace or getting divine charity or love, some sort of wangle, some sort of way in which we can, as it were, open ourselves so as to become conduit pipes for the flow.